Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's our history unit here as we reach the end of the month of March. We'd throw in a little bit of a history lesson for you today. And I know a lot of you spend a lot of time at temples here in Taiwan. And when you go to temples, sometimes you light incense and things like that. And one thing you also do at a temple is light a candle. Candles are quite common at temples. We also have candles for birthday cakes and Hanukkah, of course. There's the menorah that Jewish people light up to celebrate Hanukkah. So maybe you never asked this question. Gee, how are candles made and where do they come from?
I once went to, it was kind of like an amusement park, but there weren't rides. It actually had a historical sort of setting to it. Everybody dressed up like they lived in the 1700s. And I remember one of the places we went to see were a couple of women making candles the old-fashioned way, which was really fun to see. I love candles. I buy scented candles for my apartment because I just like the smell. And it makes the atmosphere very peaceful and relaxed if you have a candle lit in the room. It can be romantic, too. So we're going to talk about candles and the history behind them. And it's kind of fun to find out where things came from and how they got started. We're going to read through today's lesson and then we'll be back. It's Allie's birthday, and she's about to blow out the candles on her birthday cake. As she does so, she wonders, why do we put candles on cakes? And where did candles come from? Well, Allie, our birthday present to you is to tell you their story. Where their burning tale begins is uncertain, but candles may go back as far as 500 BC. At that time,Ancient Greeks put candles in their temples, while Romans gave them as gifts during religious festivals. Wealthy Romans made candles with beeswax, but most candles were made of tallow, or fat, from sheep and cows. A few centuries later, candles appeared in China, though whale fat was more commonly used there. For hundreds of years,Candles were the only form of illumination after dark. Therefore, the chandlers, or candle makers, conducted an important trade. Some sold candles door to door, while others formed merchant groups called guilds. During the Industrial Revolution, companies began making candles with machines and using braided cotton for the wicks. Though this made them more affordable,The industry soon declined as other sources of light were developed. Despite this, candles haven't disappeared. They're extremely useful during a blackout, and they provide a romantic atmosphere. Scented candles also make a room smell nice. As for why we put candles on a cake, it's connected to religion. Round cakes with lighted candles were originally created as offerings.To the Greek goddess Artemis. Some people believed their smoke carried people's wishes to the gods. Though these candles are no longer associated with any certain god, the practice of blowing them out in hopes of making a wish come true is a brilliant practice that is sure to endure for years to come.
Okay, let's talk about the history of candles, and the title is Lighting Up Your Life with Candles. We're not suggesting that you sit down at a table looking at a candle and saying, you light up my life. No, but candles do light up your life in some ways, especially if the electricity goes out during a typhoon or something.
Totally.
You might want to have some candles ready, although I don't think they're necessary anymore because everybody has a flashlight function on their smartphones. So we're all set there. But who knows, maybe the power will go out out and you won't be able to recharge your phone, so you might need to light up a candle. But in any case, in the past, candles did light up people's lives. Now, we've got a woman by the name of Allie, who happens to be a very beautiful girl, and she's celebrating her birthday. So, of course, in order to celebrate her birthday, people have bought her a cake, and they've placed the candles on the cake, and, of course, they've sung the birthday song to her. Happy birthday to you. Make a wish. And now all you need to do is blow out the candles. So there's the verb phrase there, to blow out. That's what you do with candles on your birthday cake. Blow them out so they are no longer burning.
That's right. So as she does so, she wonders, hey, why do we put candles on cakes anyway? And where did candles come from? Good questions, Allie. Well, Allie, our birthday present to you is to tell you their story. So in today's unit or lesson, we're going to actually talk about the history of candles, where they originated, and what we know about them. So where their burning tale begins is uncertain. So we're not completely sure that all of this is accurate or correct, but here's one of the theories at least. But candles may go back as far as 500 BC, or 500 years before the birth of Christ. That was a long, long time ago. At that time, we had ancient Greeks who would put candles in their temples, while Romans did something different. They would give them as gifts during religious festivals. So it sounds like they were mostly connected to religion back in history, at least. That's what we think. So if you put candles in temples, actually they still do that, don't they, here, Tom?
Sure.
Yeah, you see candles being lit in temples. For the Buddhists, they do that. But for the Catholics, they're really into candles. You walk into a Catholic church and you can, I think you donate a little bit of change and you can get a little small candle and light it in prayers for somebody's health or well-being. I know the Catholics like to do that. I don't think other Christian churches do it, but I know the Catholics are really into that. So if you go into a Catholic church, you'll definitely see some candles lit in the back of the chapel.
Yeah, that reminds me of traveling down to Texas one time, and some Mexican friends of mine went to a church to leave a candle there. The candle, of course, was like a big glass. It was really big, and it was full of wax, and they just lit it and set it there in a special room with hundreds of other candles that other people had left there, you know, as wishes to God.
You can bring a candle, but the Catholic Church actually furnishes these little short candles.
Okay, very good. Fair enough. But you can buy them outside as well. But yes, we're talking about the history of candles, and some people think they go back as far as 500 BC. The Greeks would put them in the temples, and the Romans would give them as gifts during certain religious festivals. Now, wealthy Romans made candles with beeswax, but most candles were made of tallow, or fat from sheep and cows. That's what tallow is. It's fat from a sheep or from a cow. But they also could make them from beeswax, which is basically wax that comes from bees. They use that to make their honeycombs, and sometimes people use honeycombs to make other things. But I guess in some cases you can make candles from beeswax, but most candles, at least at the time, were made from the fat of sheep and cows. That's called tallow again.
Yeah, so a few centuries later, a century, of course, is 100 years, so maybe 200, 300, 400 years later, candles appeared in China. The whale fat was more commonly used there, so they would take the fat from those big whales and use that to make their candles. I didn't know that fat could be burned like that. It's interesting. So yeah, animal fat's been useful for a long time. For hundreds of years, candles were the only form of illumination after dark. Remember, electricity is fairly new, right? So we haven't had electricity in our home. So before electricity was discovered and then turned into light bulbs that we could use in our homes, people were only able to light their homes with candles, which was very dangerous back then. You could see why a lot of homes would burn down or businesses would burn down because they had you know, live candles there. If you light candles in your home, you also need to be very careful with them. When you see this word illumination, guys, when I see it, I think of light. I just think of the word light when I see it. So it means lighting or light. I need more illumination in this room. It's quite dark. It's kind of formal to use that word that way, though. You can also illuminate somebody if you give them more details about something. Something can be illuminating to you if it kind of helps you figure something out. Oh, how illuminating. So sometimes you'll see a movie or read a book that changes your ideas about life. That can be illuminating to you, which just means you figure something out. It kind of gives you this, just this burst of wisdom, I would say. So illumination here, though, is lighting or light.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to imagine that, you know, not very long ago, just over 100 years ago, lots of parts of the world would just become dark after night fell. You know, it would be totally pitch black outside unless there was a full moon or something. So you had to figure out a way to see at night, or you just simply went to bed. But yeah, back hundreds of years ago, if you were out at night, maybe you carried a candle with you, or maybe an oil lantern or something like that. That would help provide some illumination after dark. So, of course, back then, people who made candles were quite popular. Therefore, the chandlers, or candle makers, conducted an important trade. Nowadays, I don't think they're probably as influential as they used to be. There are people who still make candles for religious purposes, to burn candles at temples, for example, or, you know, to sell to people if they want to have candles in their house. Sometimes you need candles for special dinner occasions. You know, my mother had these fancy candles that she would light at Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner.
Nice.
And so maybe some chandlers are still around. But before electricity, of course, chandlers conducted an important trade, and I suppose they made a fortune from selling candles until electricity came along and ruined their trade. Well, that brings us to the midway point in today's lesson. Let's take a little bit of a break now, but please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 我们首先来看到今天课文的第一个句子，它写着 It's Ali's birthday and she's about to blow out the candles on her birthday cake. 在这里的场景呢，是一个女孩子名叫做 Ali， 她准备呢要吹熄生日蛋糕上的蜡烛。依序这样子的文意呢，我们第一题可以选择 Sentence C。我们来看看为什么要选 Sentence C 呢？Sentence C 写着 As she does so, she wonders, why do we put candles on cakes? And where did candles come from? 在这里要注意一下，这里的 as she does so, 当她做这件事情的时候，这个 she 当然就是回应前面的 Ali 这个女孩子，她做这件事情就是把蛋糕上的蜡烛吹熄。这么做的时候，她也同时感到疑惑，为什么要把蜡烛插在蛋糕上，而蜡烛又是来自何处呢？所以后面叙述的文意跟前面的句子是相符合的，所以第一题的标准答案就选择 C。接着来看到第二段开头的第一个句子 Where their burning tale begins is uncertain, but candles may go back as far as 500 BC. 在这里提到呢，这个蜡烛的燃烧传说是从哪里开始的，是没有人能够确定。不过呢，也许最早是可以追溯到西元前500年，在这里提到了这个时间。所以第二题我们可以选择 Sentence E。E 选项里面写着 At that time, ancient Greeks put candles in their temples while Romans gave them as gifts during religious festivals。这里的 at that time 指的就是在当时西元前500年的时候呢，这个古希腊人是在寺庙当中摆放蜡烛，而 Romans 罗马人则在宗教节日的期间会把蜡烛来当作礼物赠送给别人。所以在这里就呼应前面的时间，然后呢跟他的情节，第二题的标准答案就选择 E 选项。 第三段的一开头的句子写着 For hundreds of years, candles were the only form of illumination after dark. 这里的 illumination 指的就是照明。那么在好几百年以来呢，蜡烛是天黑之后的唯一一种照明的方式，唯一一种形式，所以代表它很重要。这也是一个原因，所以造成的后果。第三题我们可以选择 B 选项。Sentence B 提到 Therefore, the candlers or candle makers conducted an important trade. 这里的 therefore 就因此，因为前面提到蜡烛是唯一的照明方式，所以因此呢，这些蜡烛制造者他们则是经营一种相当重要的贸易。所以第三题的标准答案就选择 B 选项。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.Welcome back, guys. We're talking about the history of the candle or history of candles. Tom mentioned that, you know, until I would say the early 19th century, most of the light that was produced in homes was produced through candles or lamps, lanterns that used either a candle or some gas to go by. But, you know, even though most of us are used to electricity these days, there are still some very poor parts of this world that still rely on candles. And they're not cheap for people who are very poor. And so once the sun goes down, they pretty much have to stop activity. They can't do much. Yeah, it's kind of tough. So some candles were sold door to door, while others were formed, formed merchant groups called guilds. Merchants are people who do business, and usually it's through trade. Maybe this merchant had candles, and this merchant had cloth or material to sell, and they would trade instead of using money. We use money so much more these days than by bartering or trading with somebody else, although you can still do that. My dad's a lawyer, and sometimes his clients can't pay, and so they will come up with a trade where I know one of his clients came and cut or trimmed all our palm trees in the backyard to help pay off his bill. So people who have services or products to offer still will trade sometimes. You could call them merchants. These merchant groups, of course, were called guilds. So there was a candle guild, maybe clothing guild, a shoe guild. People who made particular products would form themselves in a group to help each other better their situations as merchants in whatever trade they were doing or in.
Yep, they'd probably have meetings every once in a while to discuss the trade and to determine prices and things like that to make sure everything worked out okay. So they formed these groups together and they called them guilds. And during the Industrial Revolution, companies began making candles with machines and using braided cotton for the wicks. Okay, so yes, the Industrial Revolution changed a lot of things when they could manufacture things in factories and stuff like that.That's what the Industrial Revolution was all about. Industrial just has to do with industry, basically factories that produce things. So they made candles using machines. They were no longer handmade. And they also used a kind of cotton for the wicks. We haven't really mentioned what wicks are, but if you have a candle, you need to have a wick in order for it to work, which is a piece of string, basically, that goes down the center of the candle. And you light the wick.And that's what causes the candle to burn. In this particular case, they were using cotton for the wicks, braided cotton, which means little strands of cotton braided together like a girl's hair is braided.
It's interesting. After all these years, I think they're still using braided cotton as wicks. Now, though this made them more affordable, if something's affordable, you have enough money to buy it. It's not too expensive.The industry soon declined as other sources of light were developed. Of course, we've already talked about how electricity came along and changed everything. If something declines, it becomes smaller, fewer, less, it decreases in size. So the industry became smaller and smaller. We didn't need as many candle makers. But despite this, candles haven't disappeared. They're still kind of a fun part of life, I think. Those of us in developed countries use candles for pleasure. They make our houses smell good, or we use them in religious services, or we use them for a romantic dinner. Just that the candle-lit restaurant or the candle-lit home changes the atmosphere. It's really wonderful. So they're extremely useful. Extremely just means very, 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 very useful. I have extremely good friends. I love the food in Taiwan. It's extremely tasty. I could use all of those as examples for extremely, just really, really, or very, very.
Yeah.
A blackout is when you lose electricity suddenly. Sometimes it's just one neighborhood. Sometimes it's the whole city. Or at one point in New York City, we lost all the electricity up and down the East Coast.
Oh, no.
Which was scary. We didn't know what was going on. And this next word, atmosphere, just refers to the feeling of a place, especially if you talk about a restaurant. What's the atmosphere like? Is it romantic? Is it kid-friendly? What's it like? Oh, it's really loud. So here it's just the feeling of a place. So these candles are really effective at creating a romantic atmosphere.
Right. Usually the atmosphere, of course, is referring to the air around the Earth or around other planets. But in this particular case, as you said, it's like the general feeling of a certain place. And if you're a boy and you want to impress a girl, you might take her to a restaurant that has a romantic atmosphere for a candlelit dinner. Okay, so they're extremely useful for a blackout and for a romantic dinner. Well, scented candles also make a room smell nice. And there are various specialty stores that sell scented candles. I remember many years when I went to B&Q in Naehu, there was like a candle store in there. I don't know if it's there anymore because I haven't been there in years.
Can recommend a place.
Oh, you know a place.
Well,
okay.
There's the Breeze Shopping Center that has the Texas Roadhouse.
Okay.
I think it's Songjilu. They have Yankee Candles, which are probably one of the biggest scented candle companies in the world. They're not cheap, but they're wonderful. So sometimes I go up there and buy a couple.
Okay, so if you want to make your house smell nice, you can have some scented candles.
Uh-huh.
Make it smell like strawberries or like perfume or something. You can buy scented candles, and they can make your room smell nice. Or they can make the bathroom smell nice, perhaps. If somebody mm-hmm. goes in there and stinks up the place, maybe a scented candle can make things smell a little
yes.
better. And as for why we put candles on a cake, it's connected to religion. So you might be asking, yes, where did that tradition of putting candles on a birthday cake come from? Why do we do that? Well, it's probably connected to religion. It probably has something to do with religion.
So there were round cakes with lighted candles, and they were originally created as offerings to a Greek goddess. Of course, a god is a male god, and a goddess is a female god. A Greek goddess, her name was Artemis. And if you offered something to a god, supposedly you would offer them maybe, sometimes you would offer them animals that you had killed. If you offer offerings to the god, supposedly you would be blessed because of that. Or maybe you were trying to not be cursed or punished, so you would give these offerings to the gods. A thing that's offered, especially as a gift or contribution, is called an offering. Some people believed their smoke, the smoke from the candles, would carry people's wishes up to the gods. So that's how they knew what the people were wishing. That's how you communicated with the gods. Instead of saying a prayer out loud, maybe just light the candle and that smoke would send your wish to the gods, whoever you were praying to. Though these candles are no longer associated with any certain god, the practice of blowing them out in hopes of making a wish come true is a brilliant practice that is sure to endure for years to come. So when you associate something with something else, you connect them. I always associate peanut butter with jelly or peanut butter with honey for sandwiches. Those are popular sandwiches for kids growing up in America. I always, let's see, let me think of some Chinese food. I associate ginger
with xiaolongbao. They always put that ginger in when you get some yilong, if you get a little box. There's a girl in my neighborhood that just opened up a place. It's tiny, but she sells xiaolongbao, and I go by almost every other day to buy her xiaolongbao. They're really cheap and they're good. So things that often are seen together or go together well, you can say they're associated with each other.
There are countless examples in Chinese culture. Mooncakes are associated with Mid-Autumn Festival. Zongzi are associated with the Dragon Boat Festival, etc., etc. So candles, of course, were associated with the goddess Artemis. That sounds kind of cute, actually, offering cakes with candles on them for a Greek goddess.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't really do that anymore. We have something similar now with the candles on a birthday cake. But hey, this practice is going to go on for a long time. It's brilliant. Brilliant is an interesting word here. It just kind of means really bright, but it also means very smart. So it's a brilliant practice, with those bright candles. And it's sure to continue or endure for many years to come. And again, our final word for today is to endure, which means basically something continues on for a long time, although it could mean to suffer. I had to endure the pain of losing my mother at a young age, for example. Okay, that brings us to the end of our explanation for today. It's time now to listen to our Chinese teacher.
接着我们来看到第三段的最后一句后半段写着 The industry soon declined as other sources of light were developed. 在这里的 the industry 指的就是蜡烛的产业，后来因为其他光线来源的发展，所以这样子的蜡烛产业很快就衰退了。延续这样的文意，第四题我们可以选择 Sentence D. Sentence D 写着Despite this, candles haven't disappeared. Despite 解释成为尽管虽然，尽管这样子，蜡烛却没有消失，也就是延续前面的文意说，虽然产业没落了，尽管如此，蜡烛并没有消失，而且后面还提到的是 They are extremely useful during a blackout.特别讲到呢，没有消失，正是因为蜡烛在停电的期间非常有用，所以搭配前后文意，第四题的标准答案就选择 D 选项。第五题的空格，我们来看看它前面的句子。前面的句子写着 As for why we put candles on a cake, it's connected to religion.在这里提到，至于为什么我们要把蜡烛放在蛋糕上面，则是跟宗教有关。Be connected to 指的是与什么有关。既然提到了 religion 宗教，所以我们要延续这样的文意。第五题可以选择 F 选项。Sentence F 写着 Round cakes with lighted candles were originally created as offerings to the Greek goddessArtemis 在这里提到呢，这种圆形的蛋糕再配上点燃的蜡烛，当时是作为献给希腊女神 Artemis 的这个祭品而制作的，而这就是为什么蛋糕上要放上蜡烛咯。 OK， 所以第五题呢，我们就选择 F 选项。 OK， 以上就是今天的课文讲解，谢谢收听。
That's it for today, everybody. And hey, if you're celebrating a birthday today, happy birthday to you. And we hope you can blow out all the candles in one go.
Yeah.
Otherwise, your wish won't come true.
That's
From all
right.
of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Bye.
Bye.